Hello, everyone. We're a year to the day since Optic and Envy merged and became one entire shit show. So we thought it'd be good to record a video on it. Cyber Athletics, we're back fully now. And we could just reflect on their year, see where they're at, see how Optic compares to the old Optic before it switched hands like an ownership like four times. It just feels like a nice little topic to touch on.
The hot potato org.
There we go, 100%, yeah. I just feel like, if you look, they've got like 3 million followers on Twitter or something along those lines, and the engagement does not match that at all. It feels like it's certainly not what it once was, but that's what we're here to discuss today. So I guess initially on the lead up to discussing it, we could just kind of go through the status of Optic somewhat. So back in the day, like 2016, 2017, it sold to Infinite, which was a new entity that was created by a sports person and an investor called Chris Chaney. We don't need to go super in depth on that. So-called Infinite was bought out there. Hex, I believe, got 17 million from that buyout. So he sold Optic and the rights to it and everything and the IP over to Infinite, was working for them, but like he wasn't controlling it anymore. That went to shite entirely.
Is that the point where everyone started saying, not my Optic, or did that come later?
That came a little bit later, but right. there were real divides between the corporate side, so the new side that was built in to support Optic, and the OG Optic folks. You know, so like Hitch was especially very vocal, almost like a spokesperson for Optic at that point, against all of what was going on in the back end, because they fought like, they couldn't kind of recapture the magic they had because of everything else going on in the background. Eventually, Infinite just basically, I would say, failed. People I've spoken to who like were very involved in it wouldn't put it that way, but I would say like it didn't work out too well, and they managed to sell it for a profit, I believe, to Immortals Gaming Group. And then Hex left at that point and brought everyone with him over to Energy, where he became co-CEO and started Chicago Huntsman. So effectively, the Optic brand and IP were owned by Immortals, but the soul of Optic and the people of Optic went over to Energy and Chicago Huntsman. Mm. So Huntsman, in a way, became like the de facto Optic, in a sense. So there were two Optics at this point. So there was Optic Gaming LA competing in COD, and that's why they were saying, not my Optic, because Scump and co. were over playing for Huntsman under Hex at Energy. And then from there, basically, Optic Gaming LA did not do well. Like they realized, oh, you can't buy the fandom that comes with that name. Like it's more the people, not necessarily the brand. So Immortals ended up selling the brand to Hexer. He reacquired it. Don't know the financials there, but they're normally decent enough businessmen over Immortals Gaming Club. They've got Tommy there, Lurpis, who's switched on. So I imagine they did pretty well out of the deal. And then Hex got it back, fucked Andy Miller over, left Energy.
He fuck him over?
Well, like he went, from what I hear, he went very silent on him as soon as he got it back and wasn't committed to the Energy project anymore with the Shock and San Francisco Shock and Energy and Huntsman over there. Basically got the COD slot, fucked off and brought Optic back, which, I mean, if he was ever going to get the brand back, he kind of knew it would happen, and it probably didn't seem likely. But they had like a podcast where the two CEOs sat down and spoke to each other. That went quiet out of nowhere. And from what I heard back in the day, it didn't go too well. And I don't think Andy's the biggest fan of Hector moving forward from there. And then, so Hex is running Optic, quite a small operation. They're in COD because they already have the slot and stuff, right? But needed more support to take it to the level where it was going to compete with a FaZe or even an Energy or something at this point, right? Like, it just couldn't. It takes a lot of people to steer that ship and to run a modern-day esports organization. You can't just compete in one game and tweet and do well effectively at this point, right? You have to do a lot more. So that's where Envy comes in, where it's a very weird thing, where it's kind of like Manchester City, Manchester United, like, joining forces to create the Manchester Football Club, where it's like, what the fuck's this? It felt weird because they like historically competed against each other quite fiercely. And there was the whole time where Scump left Optic for like 14 days and joined Envy and stuff like that.
Back in the day.
History there, you know. And that takes us to basically present day, where Envy Gaming, which was the parent company of Envy and Dallas Fuel, is now just Optic Gaming. Mm-hmm. So we've got all that out of the way, and it's too hard at this point to just say whether we think it was good or bad. I think that verdict comes towards the end. So video retention, please stay towards the end if you want to know our verdict on it. But I would say, I was thinking back on the announcement video when they said, look, Envy and Optic like can't coexist at this point. Like we need to solely focus our efforts on one brand. Because like if you think of the partnerships, the partnership side of things, if you're like trying to sell both Optic and Envy, like it just gets messy. Different social channels, different teams, different branding, different messaging, different fan base. So then and the operating costs for running two brands but having to spread the partnerships thin. Was very weird for them.
What's happened to the end? I've not actually checked. What's happened to the Envy socials? Are they still going?
I think it just went blank, but I can check now quickly. But I think it just got put to the side as such. Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. So stuff, but when, you are still Envy.
The last tweet was then retweeting Optic, the basically saying Envy's no more. When they announced like the Rocket League team had moved over and stuff, right? So, the subtext to what Hasbro was saying was like, neither will succeed if we continue having both. So he had, like, they have the choice of, I guess, splitting up, which I don't know how possible that was, or like sunsetting the Envy brand, which is something he, Bill, I think, like took on from Skylar Johnson in a sense, made it from a Game Battles team into like an actual organization. Like his Optic, effectively, you know what I mean? Like, it's his version of like Hector's his own baby in Optic. Hasbro had it with Envy. So it can't have been an easy decision. So in my mind, that shows how dire the situation was. Like, we either have to fuck Envy off, or like neither of these are going to succeed and maybe even exist at a certain point. Just spreading ops across two different brands, or four if you include Dallas Fuel and Optic Texas, you know, like it's quite messy. So they rolled everything together under Optic. So as Dallas Fuel still, which to me doesn't feel like an extension of Optic. It feels very distinct. So they've just won like the World Championship in Overwatch League, which we'll get to later. But it, to me, like they're not intertwined at all, which if you look at like Optic Texas and Optic, like they're hand in hand, obviously. It's a very weird divide there. And that's something I think they need to work to bridge the gap in the new season. Whether it's a bit of a rebranding or like the tone of voice and getting them all in the same room doing some content together. Like, there needs to be something done there, in my opinion, to bridge the gap, to make it feel like an Optic brand if they believe in that brand power, which evidently they do, more so than the Envy brand power. So, as far as my understanding is, the brands can't coexist, so this had to happen, which means like all chips are in on Optic at this point. Which makes sense if you're considering it's either that or Envy. I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah, they have the stronger brand. Envy's good, but Optic definitely have the stronger brand, don't they?
Yeah, like the Envy branding as a whole is pretty solid. It just felt like the tone of voice, it felt quite bland. Like in terms of their actual brand identity, it was cool, but like they could have done a lot more to, I don't know, I just didn't feel like there were many Envy fans out there.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, definitely. You know? If you compare that to like other NA orgs that have kind of captured a, you know, a pretty big fan base, like Liquid did it, obviously TSM did it. And I feel like Envy probably had all the tools to do the same thing, but I agree with you, you don't really hear much about Envy fans, do you?
Not really, no. And they had like the Envy Us fan program and stuff. So like they were trying to make stuff happen and build fans, you know, and lifelong diehard fans, I suppose. But like you already have legions of those at Optic. Like it almost feels to me like you either don't care about Optic or like you die hard for them. It doesn't seem like there's many casual Optic fans out there. So that's one thing they've done very well in that sense. At least if you look at the socials and the Reddits and stuff, you know, like it looks like there's a legion of maybe 80 to 100K people who will watch anything that they do, which is not the biggest audience in the world, of course, but like it's something to build off of and try and rebuild with, I suppose. Yeah. But so I guess like on the merger level, I think it makes sense because Hex has always needed people to help him run the business side of stuff while he focuses more on like making sure the brand's good and the people's good. He seems real like a almost like caretaker or liaison with the talent. Like if you have the talent without him, it's not going to be the same. And he generally he can get them to perform, and he looks after them. It'd be much easier for him to get like scumping some branded content than some random suit, for example, right? Because he has that interpersonal relationship with basically everyone on the team, besides some people, which we can speak about later, because I've got that written down. I think some people don't belong in Optic. Doesn't make sense to Optic whatsoever, and we'll see them fucked off before long.
Interesting.
But anyway, yeah. So I'd say like the merger itself makes sense. So like a year on, it's like, yeah, fair play. You've done a decent job so far. Like, there's not like a massive influx of brand partners or anything at the moment for Optic, but it's got its like the stable few who you expect to be associated with them, I suppose. For the most part, you know, and it's good for Hex to have people to support him on the back end and make it an actual sound business, in my mind. So I think the merger makes sense inherently. It's just work to be done moving forward. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree, yeah, mostly. And then you've obviously just had the thing recently with Adam Reimer, who was a CEO, stepping down, which is, yeah, it's just a bit chaotic, isn't it? The org overall, like for the last four years, it's just been a bit mad. Like, you don't really know what's happening, and presumably that's why they didn't, I suppose we'll touch on this a bit, but presumably that's why they didn't make franchising in Valorant. Because like, why else wouldn't they have a strong brand, relatively well run, you would think, but go on. Are we gonna...
Well, we can get into that quickly then, the VCT, and then we'll speak about Adam Reimer. VCT, my understanding, and a bit of a guess, but mostly just like bits and bobs I've heard, that the feeling is that, so Optic got into the LCS with Infinite, the backing of Infinite when it was under that ownership, didn't really field a competitive team, and also fucked off very quickly. So not saying that anti-competitive, but it didn't seem like they're going to try and come in and really invest in the scene and smash it. And also they were unreliable. They fucked, like Immortals came in and bought it after like a year, I think, the LCS spot, along with everything else. So they're looking for the reliability, and those who are really going to invest in the scene, of course, like you're going to want the people who are willing to spend the most money, and there are much better funded organizations, or I guess organizations that are willing to go all in on a couple of titles. Like you look at Sentinels, they're willing to go all in on Valorant. That's like their game of choice. So like that makes complete sense to go for them. I think Riot feel a bit burnt, like they've been burned by Optic from the LCS days, even though all intents and purposes it's different leadership for the most part, barring Hex at this point. That's kind of my understanding and my inkling about why they didn't make it into the VCT. Even though they won like Masters and then came second at the World Championship, it shows that performance isn't everything on that front. And
yeah, they really don't seem to give a shit, do they, about performance?
Which is crazy.
Like I said, they're like the best team in the world, pretty much, weren't they? Or the second best team in the world, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you can make the argument that they were the best like over the course of the year. Though obviously there's a lot of moving parts like throughout the year. So you could say the most consistent like top team, but they fell just short when it came to the World Championship. I think they lost a Loud,
And how many spots are there in NA? It's 10, isn't it? So you've got Sentinels, Cloud9, Energy, 100 Thieves, Evil Geniuses. That's five right there that you just surely you're just not getting in ahead of any of them. Like they all seem very
Evil
solid.
Geniuses surprises me a bit, but.
Yeah, but I've seen some stuff recently and heard some stuff about EG just being really well run and like having a really interesting and strong strategy and stuff.
Well, their strategy is we're the diverse organization, but they're also run by a CEO who is CEO, I said then, which is really bad. But I honestly didn't mean that. That is not what I meant to say. I'm going to rag on her in a different way. What I'm going to say is, like, she seems like her ego is out of control and she forces herself in every bit of content. Any, like, big content piece that comes out surrounds her. She's trying to be, like, the face of it, like a Carlos or what Nadeshot was towards the beginning of 100 Thieves and what Hex kind of is to Optic now. But doing that without a particularly compelling personality or like much legacy in the industry, you basically got put in that position to lead the organization. It's not like you built your way up in esports. So for me, like, I'm not a fan of that, but yeah, they're certainly trying to position themselves as like
just in all the content and stuff, you mean?
Yeah, like she makes herself like the face of the organization effectively,
yeah,
which is good for her, but is it the best for the organization?
I mean, I guess it's a good thing, showing your face and the content and stuff. It probably will be a smart thing long term.
If you're good at content.
Or if you're not. You don't have to be good at it.
I just... Yeah, but I think like you run the risk again. Like if she, like she's not a Carlos figure, I'll put it that way. She hasn't got the charisma of Nate on Hex, so it's very good for her, especially as like a black woman as well, like leading an esports organization. I'm not going to take that away from her, and it's very rare she might be the only one. So it's very good for her to put herself front and center and say, "Look, like esports represents more than just white men." Like fair play if that's the case. Like I understand that. Yeah. But also, is that what's best for the organization? Is that certainly not what Evil Geniuses used to be?
Pardon? Yeah, I don't know if it's harmful, is it?
Nah, it's just I just don't like it. I just feel like very ego fueled. I don't think it's what's best for the organization. But anyway, this is about optic. But yeah, it's hard to get in past those teams that you've mentioned for sure.
Yeah, so it's five pretty. If they're surprising, EG, then that's like basically the only one that is. There's like. Four, maybe even five juggernauts there. And then you've got Furia, which is Brazil crew.
Big Brazil.
Yeah, Leviathan. So you've obviously got your teams from elsewhere, not just like North America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty fucking competitive, isn't it? So like,
yes.
Yeah. I guess it shouldn't be held against Optic too strongly that they didn't make it.
I actually think it might even be a lucky escape.
You reckon?
The way the salaries have inflated now, the salaries have all gone up like 20, 30, 40% for these players in between non-partnership up to the partnership. Mm. They're all asking for so much more.
Yeah, interesting. I've actually not heard that. Or I've heard something slightly different.
Oh, I can promise you, like, they're like the players for sure that know they deserve to be, or like they're going to get a spot effectively. Mm. And those players know who they are for the most part. Like, you know you're going to try and grab all of the Optic players, for example, like if you're one of the partner teams.
Salaries in Valorant, especially in North America, are like loads of players are earning about, from what I hear, 20 to 40 grand a month, which is like...
And it'd be more now.
That's like 350 to 500-ish grand a year.
You mentioned that stipend.
And then there are players that are... Yeah, exactly. And yeah, there's loads of cash to go around, yeah.
There's not though. Not 600k.
No, yeah, but then you've
and if
also
that's covering
got
two players.
But they're gonna. You presume they're gonna do more rev sharing with in-game items and stuff. There is more cash in Valorant than there is elsewhere, because elsewhere you have to pay for a spot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. But part of me thinks like the operation costs are going to be high anyway, right? So I think it's going to be very hard to make a profit in that league, like it is in basically any league
anywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's super, like, Valorant's at the top end of esports in terms of costs. Like, you can operate in Rocket League and Apex Legends and Halo for probably the same amount.
Will it continue that way? Because it's not geo-affiliated, is it?
No, it's
like,
not.
It's not. I mean, there's not going to be... Presumably, there aren't going to be super regular events. Like, so why are the costs in Valorant much higher?
Well, like, if you're one of the partner teams... Like you've got to pay these, like initially you've got to pay them ridiculous amounts. So straight off the bat, the salaries are ridiculously high for these top players.
Still not really close to League of Legends though.
It's not far off.
Oh well, actually, to be fair, the average is I guess the top end is much higher.
Like if you're a Perks or a Bjergsen or something, like reputation wise, like you can command like the $1 million salary or just under it or whatever. But like some players are not that far off in Valorant, like, and give it a couple of years, who fucking knows?
Yeah,
like,
not.
If it keeps growing, like, it's high, like CSGO, Valorant, and League, and then everything else is like different gravy. Like, it's somewhat, I'm not saying sustainable, but like, you can at least look towards maybe recouping it somehow.
Mm.
So all I'm saying is like, perhaps it's a lucky escape, a blessing in disguise in some senses, if you're trying to turn your brand to something profitable in the next couple of years, maybe that's the kind of thing you need. Just concentrate on the smaller things, as I say, like Halo, they don't have to pay that much. Rocket League.
A lot of it depends on like the if Riot make any more announcements about it. Because so far, like I said, there've been a couple of good like Valorant Champions skin share and stuff. Like that stuff's cool because teams got a shitload from that. So if they do more stuff like that, which it sounds like they have promised they're going to, what that looks like, it's hard to say.
We'll have to see. So it'd be interesting.
I'm optimistic about Valorant, probably a bit more optimistic than you are. But
regardless, like that's the VCT section for me. I think that's why they didn't get in, unreliability, and they didn't really put forward an attempt at a winning roster while they're in the LCS. Some bad blood there from Riot in that sense. Like, well, let's give someone else a chance who we don't think is going to leave after a year, or maybe they just don't believe in the current business structure of Envy and Optic. You know, like maybe because everyone had to submit finances and stuff, right? So, it could just be as simple as that. So, as we mentioned, Adam Reimer, they say stepped down, but effectively was moved away from being the CEO. So he led them through the merger, through expanding business partnerships, through acquiring Batissimo, basically every step of the way for like the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, but definitely throughout like the latest era of Envy, where like they've become a more sound business. Like they got content creators in finally. They were very behind on that, but they brought in like Minx and Code Miko and the Botest sisters, like some big grabs if you want the numbers to be able to bring in the sponsors. Like he led the company through quite a bit. And while I still think the identity was missing quite a bit for Envy overall, I think like from a business point of view, he's proved that he's pretty fucking decent on that front. But he's moved to a strategic advisory role where who knows what the fuck that actually means. He's moved away, but not completely removed because that looked bad. They might go to him and say, hey, we're looking to do this, what do you think, like just as a second opinion, you know what I mean? But I think he's a sound guy, he's a content guy, he comes from a content background, so there's definitely things I can speak to him on, and so it seems like a loss to not have him in some sort of like C-level or like directorial role within the organization.
Where's the benefit in Hex becoming CEO? Like what's, I don't know. What's the benefit?
So what? Because he was president before. So effectively,
so he's still like, associated and still big daddy of the company.
In was a sense of like, I think like he's like the caretaker of Optic, right? I think he wants and gets the final say on everything that happens with his brand, which makes sense. Cause I mean, he's got him to this point. If you ignore all the ownership bullshit, which I guess he couldn't have predicted somewhat like the way it went. He built Optic up from nothing, but I think sometimes it's like when it comes to more later stage businesses, it's good to have like experienced businessmen in at that point who have maybe done it a few times before and led to a successful IPO or getting a company profitable or to a certain revenue. You know, like I still think on like a brand level and what you do with talent and such, he should be the one calling the shots because he's integral to all of the people within Optic that like are outward facing. You know what I mean? Like, so he's key there. 100% makes sense.
He's clearly good at that stuff as well.
But business wise, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not sold. Like, why does he need that CEO title? Is it purely for optics?
I was thinking, has he just got itchy feet and he just he just wants to be more involved day to day in the actual like operations side of stuff? Is it just that he got a bit bored, you know?
Oh god! Which, if that's the case, then just get a new hobby, man. You know what I mean? Like, don't be fucking with the business. That is, it just as we've noted, he always
there's always something going on with leadership at Optic. That's kind of the takeaway I've got. We've just talked like you told the chronology, if that's even the word, really well.
Won't work, won't it?
Yeah,
it's a weird one. There's not much stability, right? And
yeah, no, there's not.
A year on from a merger, you think they'd have some sort of plan as to what. what they're doing going ahead, and maybe he's the one to lead that and execute that plan. Fair play, but to me, as we've said, like he needs people on the business side. I think he's even admitted he don't want to be hands on all the corporate bullshit. He wants to create and look after the players. And that's exactly it.
If he said that at some point, maybe it's possible that he's just forgotten that. That can happen. Like, you know, where you make a decision, it's like, I feel like this is best for me. After a while, you're like, I don't want to try that again, you know?
And then make him chief creative officer.
Yeah, man. Bro, honestly, I think president is a perfect role for him. I really do. I don't, like you said, I don't understand why you would need the CEO role. I mean, he may well do something and have success that blows everyone away, but why you already have, like, if you're the president, you're already basically in charge. It depends on the structure of the organization that you're in. Like, it probably differs from one to one, but like, you already have the say, you already are the guy. Like,
you've at least got your name in the ring for like decision making among all the board members and stuff, right? Like, he at least has a giant say in what goes on, and I think like Hasbro is going to back him a lot because he basically has to at this point.
Yeah,
so like that's two voices in the boardroom and at the top that are I guess singing from the same hymn sheet, you know. So yeah, it feels very weird to me. Hopefully we see some more like directors and C-level shifts. I know we said there's a lot of turbulence going on, but like I hope they build out a real seasoned like group around him to help him, so he can like he can steer the ship, but like they can execute upon like his vision if he really is like some business visionary, not just a guy who's really like good at content and has these really good relationships with people.
Yeah,
you know, like, and it's obviously not an attack on him by any means. He's done a decent job up until now, a good job if you exclude all of the bullshit that happened to Optic over the past few years. You know, it's it's a weird move to me, and again, I don't think that it's going to look good long term. I think something's going to happen where he's either going to step down and go president, maybe quietly, or you know, like he has to get removed because it's not going well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, so is he still on his content grind and stuff? Does he still do the podcast and everything, or what?
Yeah, I think he features heavily in like the Optic content. I know he used to have like his daily vlogs and stuff, but I don't think he does that anymore. But I know as well, like he just announced that Pine Park, his weed brand, is like expanding into a new area or something. So he's seemingly very busy on that front. He's still doing his Eavesdrop podcast, looking at it and vlogging occasionally.
I saw a clip of somebody. Is it Mr. Wonderful? Is that his name? The guy that's in
no idea who that is.
Shark Tank, the American Dragon's Den. He's been on it like since the beginning, I think. I saw a clip of him saying you don't ever want to start a weed business in the US because the laws per state are different. So if you're starting in California, well then what happens if you grow and you want to expand and you want to, you know, and then all of a sudden you have to ship it through a state that doesn't where weed's illegal. So all of a sudden you run into bad problems. Yeah. So maybe that'll happen, and maybe that'll be another spanner in the hex. Works, but we'll see.
Well, hopefully not for him, because he's got a lot. Yeah. I don't wish ill upon him. But yeah, man. So I kind of question like him having the time and focus for everything if he's also in the mix so much, like on the ground level. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I do think there'll be a change in the next year or so. Again on that front, and it'll probably be
that would look bad. So far you can say like, yeah, ownership didn't work, you know, whatever transitions. If it happens again, where he's the CEO and then it just either goes terribly wrong or he does step back, even if it's quietly, then it will look bad. Then it's like,
oh yeah, imagine if Hastro ends up disappearing in the next year. That looks fucking just awful.
Alienating everyone he works with.
That looks fucking awful. I'm gonna come in, steal all of your stuff, fuck your brand off, and then fuck you off. Like, I swear to God, I hope that doesn't happen.
Because you said about decent guy. Andy Miller, how he kind of maybe Andy doesn't like Hex as much these days.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
And like Andy, what he is like a super successful, capable, like a proper businessman, isn't he?
Yeah, he sold a company to fucking Apple,
yeah, for like hundreds of millions. I can't remember how many. It's like 200 or 300 million. And he works with Steve Jobs and stuff. Yeah, so like, and if he's, that's already a bit of a red flag. If he's like, no, fuck this guy. I mean, I don't know. You say is that that's what he's done, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it's cause like, he like went quiet and then fucked off, like, you know, instead of like, okay, let's keep building together. He like fucked off, you know, like, so he was happy working with Andy and stuff while he didn't have what he wanted. But when he got what he wanted, he fucked off. It's kind of like that meme. Yeah. Whereas the geezer holding hands with that lass and then looking backwards at the other lass, you know, and the other lass is Optic, you know, he was just like, ooh, it felt like that to me, you know, but like on a positive note, like, looking back on the past year, Optic has had a very good year. As the organization, talk about the parent organization, it's had a very good year competition-wise. So most recently, they just won the Halo World Championship and they won in the Super, I think. Kind of major event in Orlando, I think it was. So they won the last two events there, including the World Championship. So Optic, of course, won it before with like the Sentinels roster now. So that's a return to glory for them. In a scene that had promise at the beginning, the program still has promise, but like Halo's Infinite has generally has been a bit of a mess throughout this year. But viewership's still not great. It could be a lot better.
Like, everyone was really enjoying it, and then it literally, I don't know what happened.
Well, the game didn't get updated for fucking ages, and they keep like certain GAs and certain guns where they kept them on the map. Like, it just got real messy. But regardless, like, the team kept the head down and grinded a lot. They were getting called on liners a lot, and then went and won the last two events of the year, like the two big events. So, like, fair play to them on that front. And, like, you know, like smashing, like, really smashing it at events, like, up until the grand finals, like, losing one map, you know what I mean, in series where they probably played, like, 18, 20 maps or something. Like, winning in dominant fashion there. They won a COD major, so they won a COD event. I think it was earlier in the year, in the season, and didn't do particularly well towards the end, but they still got a win there. And they're looking decent early days on Modern Warfare 2, Scumps last year, so he's going to have fire lit in him, you'd hope. Or he's going to be mentally checked out.
That's one thing I wanted to mention. I don't think I've been mentally checked out. That makes me want to watch COD again this year.
Me too,
because Scump's like about to retire. That's going to be sick. Like, the viewership's going to be crazy. But what happens when Scump goes? That's one thing that always worries. I remember writing this ages ago. Yeah, like, you remember Hex and a couple of others kind of stepped away from the org technically, and then all of a sudden the org just fucking died. What happens when Scump leaves? Like, he's so central to Optic. I think he'll still be part, presumably anyway, he'll still be part of the company, won't he? He'll still
give him equity.
Yeah, fuck me.
Let him buy in, because, like, you let Nature go and look what he did. Don't let that happen again.
Yeah. Oh, they have to. That's like a no-brainer that you do that and let Scump help you grow the brand.
Yeah, because if Scump, like, he's known as the King, right? His branding's around the King. So what if he makes, like, the King clan, like KK or something? He leaves Optic and creates the KK. The Cool King clan or something. And, oh, no, sorry.
That's very close to the bone now.
No, but like, what if he leaves and creates the next 100 Thieves? You know, like, that's something you can't. Like, happen.
That could actually render Optic, like, dead. They could actually just, you know, you take Scump, takes all these Optic fans. Because let's be honest, though, a massive chunk of Optic fans probably started off as Scump fans or Nature 100%. Fans, which is obviously why 100T is like one of the biggest in the world already.
Yeah, it's like him. He and Hex are like the last two remaining OGs. Really, you've got Big Timer who's there still, but he's mad quiet and done. He's not like as vocal like online as he used to be.
Yeah, is he more like I'm trying to think what his role is.
He's got Green Wall Street, which is like where he helps people understand the stock market, and he appears on some podcasts like charity events and stuff that they run. But like, he's not super vocal anymore. He was pumping out like 3 videos a day, like reaction videos and stuff, like a few years ago, where he could have been a big content creator, I think. But like, that just wasn't in the cards for him. I guess he didn't really fancy doing it. But then like, Merc obviously left back in the day and is casting. He's part of the, like, the most successful casting duo in COD now. Nadeshot left and did 100 Thieves. Crimsix left and, you know, like, I still think now it'd be good for Optic and Hex. Optic and Crim to join forces again now that he's retired and content creating. I think that makes a lot of sense if there's no bad blood. And you've got Formal competing still, but he's in pure goblin mode, just like competing and practicing. You know what I mean? It's like scrimming for 100 hours a day. So it feels like, as Hector would be like the last, I guess, like, he's like the last part of Optic. If Scump was to go, that's like connected to like the old school fans, all the old school fans can connect to. So it would be a huge loss for them. Of course, even just like numbers wise, it's a huge loss for them. He's their biggest personality and creator. If he went and did a COD video a day, like, it won't be long until he's the biggest COD creator again. You know what I mean? Like, it won't take long whatsoever. But similarly, they came second in the World Championship for Valorant, but they did win like Valorant Masters. Was it the one in Iceland they won? It could have been. I don't watch it like that, but I know they won like a big event there. They've just won Overwatch League with Dallas Fuel. They just won like the 2022 season there. So they're world champions at the moment in Halo and Overwatch. They were second best, or best in Valorant, however you want to look at it. And COD, like, they're not quite where they want to be on that front. Rocket League, they're getting started and I guess heated up on that front. And Apex Legends, they've got one of the better teams, but not the best team. So, like, they've not had a bad year at all, like, success-wise in competition, all in all. So, on that front, you could say it's been successful. I don't know how much it's cost for them to be able to, like, get those few trophies and victories, but if you're judging them based on being a competitive team or a house of competitive team, then it's been a success.
It's nice to do that sometimes, isn't it, rather than just butcher the fucking the financials. It's nice to just be like, no, they're actually like winning stuff. Like,
yeah. So fair play to them on that front. Like, as I can't knock them. You know, like COD, you'd expect better from, or you'd like that. That's really, like, in my mind, COD and Halo are the ones they should be dominating in. So, like, they, if it don't work this year, then maybe it's good that Scrub's going and they can get one of the young guns in to compete alongside the other crack young guns that they've got, you know, like, and Dashi can be like the mainstay for Optic on that front and maybe step into a more Scump position over the next 5, 6, 7 years or something. Keep creating more of those long-term, like, Optic stars.
I hope this isn't blinding our viewers, by the way. It's been like this for like 10 minutes. Is it bright?
It's fine, because half of it will be chopped off anyway, of course, because we'll be side by side.
Oh, so. Yeah. All right, standard.
We'll be good on that front. So, good year from, in that respect, for sure. Financials, nothing been posted, so we can't say anything, but the fact that they had to fuck Envy off suggests to me it's not been the best year financially. That is my guess, and it seemed to happen out of nowhere as well. So,
yes.
We can't judge it. But if we're judging it based on every other result we've had in esports in terms of financials that we can see, then and we consider the impact of COVID and we consider the economic downturn that we're in right now, I think it's probably safe to say that they're not making a profit.
They won't be. No way.
They'll be burning through that 40 mil that Grey TV invested in Envy last year, I think it was. So we'll have to see how that... I think it was a Series C, if I remember correctly, from Grey TV, and I like one of the board members and stuff for the organization. But another point I wanted to get to before I guess we say final thoughts and wrap up on Optic's like first year merging with Envy is, again, Dallas Fuel doesn't feel Optic to me whatsoever. And now that's only a feeling, it's just pure vibage. But vibes matter.
Just vibes.
And Fuel doesn't fit in too much to me. I'm not saying call them Dallas Optic or anything by like any stretch of the imagination, but I think some work could be done there, both like branding wise and also integrating the players from Fuel with the Optic folks a bit more, get them over to the Hex quarters and get it feeling integrated and maybe try and siphon viewers from both ends and cross over, I think is a good idea on that front, and get some brand harmony for partnerships and such. I also think Rocket League doesn't feel very Optic because they're very like shooter based organization historically. So Rocket League's a weird thing, but it's also a hype game, you know. So I think it will work. You just got to get used to it. But again, I feel like it is a bit of a weird choice for them. Apex makes a bit more sense because it's a shooter. Still a bit weird seeing the Optic brand there.
Yeah.
But also you've got like Seabass, I think his name is, a small creator like 7K. I think he came over from Envy. I don't personally see what he brings to Optic whatsoever. You have Just the Minx, who just got kicked because I think she was laughing at sexual assault or something, and then she's having mental breakdowns and stuff. She's a brand risk. So they got rid of Just the Minx, but they've got the Botes sisters still, and Code Miko, the VTuber, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but those people were part of like the Envy house, where they had like Minx and the two sisters and the VTuber all together. Never took off views wise. I could tell you that they get like 30, 40K views, whereas individually they all command much bigger audiences. So that, I don't know what it was, but something about that, maybe it didn't feel very authentic, and the crossover of audience for them isn't very high because they're all quite different. Like two of them are chess streamers, one's a VTuber, and one was known for just like being absolutely fucking wild and like a drunk Irish woman, you know, like there's not a lot of crossover there. So like, I don't see how they really fit into the Optic family per se. I guess like if they do more content with the two sisters and the VTuber, I just don't want to keep butchering her name, so I'll call her the VTuber, no disrespect. You know, then maybe then it can work. And I know they did some Optics, like Optic versus Envy games, where it was like the four girls versus like a few from Optic. But again, like that was pitting the two teams against each other, not saying that they're on the same team and representing one brand. So I'd just say like part of the merger to me leaves some elements of the organization that I don't think necessarily fit in with what the organization has traditionally been. That's not to say it can't change and grow, you know, and fair play if they're going to do that. But it feels a bit dodgy. Just don't feel necessarily right. And this is from someone who was an Optic fan from like 12 years old up until I started journalism effectively. Like, so someone who kind of understands like the Optic way, I suppose, or the vibe around Optic, the ethos around them. I find that side of the merger strange, where it feels like they've just been tacked on, or they're just tagging along because of the merger, and once the contracts are done, they'll be done, you know? That's just how I feel on that front. I don't know if you've got anything to add, but...
No, just that when... I guess it's not a new person technically, but when somebody enters a new... Especially CEO, literally the decision maker, there's going to be changes, presumably. So yeah, you may well be right. But other than that, I don't know, for me, just crunch time for Hector, probably, if it hasn't already passed. Like I said, if it goes tits up, that's a big red flag, because he's not really got it right yet, you can say, in the sense of running a big business, not in the sense of everything he's done that everybody already knows about.
As a creator and friend, I'm sure, I think he's great. Like, it makes sense, like him doing all the podcasts and stuff, right? He's got the relationships with all of the Optic folks, so I think he brings out the best in them. Fair play on that front. But yeah, it's time to like show your business chops at this point now and show that you can run a company and grow a company, especially one that technically now has had like probably towards 100 million investment and at some point will need a return. You know, like it's other people's money you're playing with.
Yes.
Yes, so, indeed. It's a squeaky bum time for Hex and co over at Optic, I think. But they do have some talented people working there, like Sarah Schneider and stuff, of course. You know, and their social team are great and that. So, like, they've got good people there. It's just making sure they're working on the right things. But so I guess overall, we could say, like, it's hard to judge Optic a year on because there's still so many changes we're yet to see. Like, the moment you can start to judge them, they change CEO. And it's just like, oh, shit, okay. So, like, now we have to wait more to be able to see, like, how this is really going, you know? It's an awkward one, but it's worth reviewing and recapping because lots gets lost, I guess, you know, like, with time. So this is a nice little moment in time where people can go back and see how things went. You know, in 10 years when Optic's, like, the household name and stuff, they can look back at this and go, ooh, things weren't all rosy. You know,
yeah, true.
Or when it's dead in 2 years,
you can say, "Oh, wow, do you remember Optic Gaming? Fuck me, they were big, weren't they?"
Oh yeah, that small team Optic. Yeah, I remember. Whatever happened there? Oh, Hex became CEO. Shit. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
A second video within a week from Cyber Athletics. Oh, we're back. Big announcement. Big-ish announcement coming soon. From us, it won't affect us here unless it makes us more consistent. That's the only way it could affect us, I think. We will see on that front. As always, thanks for watching. I'm still supposed to be singing that fucking Global Esports Federation song. I keep forgetting about it until I get to the end of these videos. one day it's coming. Keep watching. Viewer attention. Check the next video.
Maybe that can go along with the announcement.
I could do it to the backing song of GEF's theme tune. I could do like a spoken word announcement there. We'll have to see. But we'll see you on the next one, motherfuckers.